Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm China. Today is the second day of October. Welcome. It is so great to be here with you today. Now, I know this isn't my normal week to be on here with you. Hopefully it's not too devastating for you. Mom had read her week, and then she read more than half of mine, and so I just want to allow her body to rest and to heal as she is still, you know, walking through Bell's palsy, and so just want to allow her to rest, and so I will be reading with you this week, and I'm excited, and so today we are in the book of Matthew. We are in chapter 1. And we are also in the book of Luke, chapters 2, verse 1 through 38. And since it is a new week, we will be switching it up, and we're going to be reading in the New International Version this week. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam the father of Abijah. Abijah the father of Asa. Asa the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat the father of Joram. Joram the father of Uzziah. Uzziah the father of Jotham. Jotham the father of Ahaz. Ahaz the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah the father of Manasseh. Manasseh the father of Amon, Amon the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel the father of Abihud, Abihud the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Akim, Akim the father of Elihud, Elihud the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Mahatan, Mahatan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate with their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Luke 2:1-38. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord: a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Wow. What an incredible reading we have today. And it is the Christmas story. I hope you all have your Christmas trees up. Man, what a beautiful story. I think the part that really got me was this man named Simeon who is told by the Holy Spirit, you won't die until you have seen the Messiah. And, you know, wow, what a way to be living in anticipation, knowing that you're not going anywhere until you see the Messiah. I'm sure if you were to tell your friends or your family that, they would probably dismiss you, or I don't know. I'm not sure if people stood with him in that, or if they really dismissed him as crazy or what, I'm not sure, but there was a part of me that was imagining what that would have even looked like to be such an old man who is of faith and of diligence and who has waited so long and is now holding little baby Jesus. And gosh, what a full circle moment that must have been for him. What a beautiful and powerful moment that must have been. And then also just reading about the angels showing themselves to the shepherds. And when you think about kind of the fast forwarding to Jesus and him being in his 30s and his life really kind of coming close to an end, and people are accusing him because they didn't think this is who he would be, or that this is how the Messiah would be revealed, or even how the Messiah would come. And I'm just thinking, you know, I'm not sure what the anticipated moment would have looked like for them. Would he have been born into like Pilate's or Herod's genealogy? But instead we read about where Jesus, where he came from. There's 15 generations between Abraham all the way down to Jesus. And reading about how quite literally all of heaven rejoiced when Jesus was born, and in the most humble of ways that he was, I mean, first off, he was born of a virgin. And I mean, what an immaculate way to come into earth, to be born at all. That is truly, like, honestly, I mean, it just is a miracle, because life in itself is a miracle, and going through the whole scientific process of conception, and for Jesus to be wholly conceived and with this young girl, and Joseph, who's trying to figure out how can we both walk away from this with our dignity and our lives, to where she's not stoned and he's not shunned for, you know, giving a certificate of divorce. But then Gabriel, again, Gabriel's got his work cut out for him. And he comes and comforts Joseph and says, no, hey, listen, like, this, I promise this is real. It's crazy. Nothing like this has ever happened before. And that's what I'm saying about these trailblazers, these pioneers, because this has never been done before. I don't know of a single other holy conception that is not partnered by two people, but just with the Holy Spirit. Like, I don't think there has been anything else like that. And so to be the first, I'm sure, wasn't all easy for Mary. And so these stories, we read about them, these are foundational for our faith and what we believe and for our gratitude for the Lord. And I feel like we can almost get desensitized by reading them, because we read them so many times, or, you know, I already know this, why do I have to read it again? But when we really slow down and we read it, you know, like something like the life of Simeon stands out to us, and to think, wow, He waited in faith, and he waited and he trusted, and he really believed that he would see the Messiah. And I'm not sure that it happened in the way that he thought it was going to happen, but that didn't matter. It didn't matter that it happened or didn't happen in the way that he expected. What does matter is that it was holy and it was beautiful, and God fulfilled every single promise. Like, there was not one even little promise that wasn't fulfilled, even to the shepherds, to this man Simeon getting to hold Jesus, who was probably just a few weeks old. And just thinking about that is crazy. And also just my heart goes out to Mary, who's, you know, new and postpartum. And it, the Bible says she keeps all these things close in her heart. It's like, yes, Mary, get a journal, write all these things down in your sleep deprivation. Oh God, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for the goodness and the trueness of it. And even just the wonder and awe in the stories that we have read our whole lives, or maybe our whole Christian lives, I pray that there would still be that part of our hearts that is just in awe and reverence and wonder for who you are and how you have allowed things to be created to be. And I pray that our hearts wouldn't feel like, oh, I've already heard this, I've already read this, I know how this goes, and that we wouldn't check out, but actually that we would press in further and deeper and find you. And I thank you that that is the truth of this whole year, is that when we seek you, we find you. And so, Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your son, and for the sweet birth story that we get to be forever changed by. And it is in your name we pray. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is our website. That's the place of connection. It's where you can see what's happening here in the community. So be sure to check that out. If you have prayer requests and things that we can pray for you, or if you hear somebody's prayer requests and you want to call and pray over them, you can do so through the phone number. Or if you listen through the app, you can record your prayer request in through there, and they get sent in and played at the end of every day's podcast. That is all for today. I'm Trina. I love you, and I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
My name is Linda, and I live in Wilsonville, Oregon. I have just finished listening to the DAB Chronological, taking particular note of comments from Eric in Oregon regarding his support of a fellow teacher. I am aware of times when God both prompts and validates my prayers, and hearing Eric today, knowing his commitment to God and our children, blessed me more than I can express. I had just prayed this morning for our Christian teachers. I prayed that God would validate your efforts, encourage you in your faith, continually demonstrate to you that you are supported in prayer, and that your work will result in fruit among our children in God's perfect timing. I pray for strength and encouragement, and I thank you for being at the forefront of the spiritual battle for their minds and their souls. Know that you are lifted and supported in prayer. Thank you, Eric.
Hi, my name is Alvin from New York City. This is my first year of reading through the Bible. I thank God for Jill and China, and I'm sorry that China and her family is not doing too well. My prayers for you, and my prayers definitely go out for Jill. I just want to say thank you. This is the Bible Challenge to read through the Bible with you and your family, Jill. Thank you again, and my prayers for you and the family.
This is Scott Campbell from Olean, New York. I would like to pray for China and Jill, Lord. Dear Jesus, we pray for China and Jill. Heal them in Jesus' name as they do your word from the Daily Audio Bible Sea, Lord. Heal them in Jesus' name, that we get a good report from right here on the Daily Audio Bible and Daily Audio Bible Sea. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, dear BC family. This is your brother, Regis, formerly calling from Nairobi, Kenya, now calling from Kabul, Afghanistan. I'm calling, I've been a long time listener, and I quite rarely call. And the reason why I'm calling now is just to pray for Jill, China, and her family, and also the entire Hardin family, because I heard Jill is not feeling well, China and family as well. And just want to take this opportunity to pray for them. Father, I pray for China and her family. I pray for restoration. I cast all wickedness and all things that are coming from the enemy out of her life and her family in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I pray for Jill that whatever is happening on her face will stop in Jesus' mighty name. I cancel all plan and blood of the enemy. I pray for the Harden family. I pray for all the people who are working for DAB to be podcast, that you will protect them, you will shield them, King of Glory. Father, we pray that all the weapon of the enemy will not reach them. They shall be safe. They shall be well. I pray for safety. I pray for provision. I pray for open door for them. Father, do what you alone can do in their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray and believe. Amen. Thank you, family. God bless you. I love you so much. This is Regis calling from Kabul, Afghanistan. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Good morning, family. It's Inge from Denmark. Calling today to lift up two women. The mother of Moses, faithful mama, who is home alone as her husband travels for work for 3 weeks. And Moses always acts out more when his dad is not around. And Christy from Kentucky, who is standing side by side her husband Tim as he is facing some health issues. Comes with a lot of questions as to what is the source of the symptoms that he's having. And so God, I just want to thank you that you're a provider. You're a provider, and you're a God who sees. You're a God who cares, and you're a God who loves. So you see these two amazing women. You see how they continuously calling in amidst their own struggles. They call in, lifting up other people, encouraging other people, praying over other people. And you see how they are, how they're dealing with severe struggles. And they need extraordinary power in their situations. And I want to thank you that you're a God who you see us when we are running on empty, when we literally have no more left in the tank. We can go to you and you promise that you're going to provide. You don't fill us up just half and half. You've promised that you want to fill us up until we overflow. Fill them up till they overflow. Like that, you want to fill them up. I just pray that you provide these women with all they need, and that you also go in and heal Tim's symptoms and Moses's heart. In your name, Jesus. Amen.